On today's episode, we're here with Megan, who is the founder of Megan's Rescue Effort, which is a 100% volunteer-run rescue here in Calgary. We'll be talking about fostering.
Fostering in terms of how to prepare for it, what to consider, and how to get involved in the foster world.
Yep.
Welcome to The Woofy Show, the ultimate dog lover's digest. Meet your hosts, Ryan and Magda, two dog lovers ready to help you be the best dog parent, unravel the mysteries of canine behavior, and keep you updated on the latest trends in the dog world. This podcast has something for everyone. Get ready for heartwarming stories, expert advice, and a lot of laughs.
Welcome to the show, Megan. Why don't you start us off telling us a little bit about yourself and maybe what inspired you to go into the world of dog rescue and all that?
Perfect. So obviously my name's Megan. So I started in rescue in 2012. So I wanted a second dog. So I had a dog, and then I decided to buy a house and then buy a truck and then start traveling and went, maybe a second dog isn't affordable right now. So I started looking at rescues around the city and started hearing that word foster. I really didn't know what it was. So I started looking into it, found a rescue to partner with, and went, you know what? My dog always wanted a second dog. I rented. She was always upstairs or wherever the dog was.
Yeah.
Was like, I'm out. I got to be with that dog. So it was for me, it was a financial.
Okay.
I couldn't responsibly take on a second dog.
Like full-time.
Full-time, yes. Right? So,
or permanently.
Right, so the vet bills, the insurance, like any of that stuff. It was like, really, is this feasible?
Yeah.
And it's just me and one dog to add another one. So I started looking around and found fostering, found out what I liked about it. So for 2 years, I fostered with three different rescues. Kind of learned the rescue world.
And are they all in Calgary? Like all Calgary rescues?
I did one outside of Calgary and then two inside Calgary here.
Okay.
And just found out, you know, the world of rescue. So I sat on some volunteer boards, did some foster coordinating, got to learn about the First Nations reserves around the city where we really base our rescue out of right now and do a lot out in Stoney Nakoda. And kind of learned the way of the world of rescue.
Yeah.
Kind of things. Learned like...
Was your first dog a rescue as well, or...?
Yeah, she was actually just found on the side of the road.
Oh, wow.
I lived in Rocky Mountain House.
Like, by you?
No.
Oh, sorry,
so, like,
okay.
Someone found her in the ditch out in Rocky Mountain House, and they'd brought her to one of the local pet stores.
I mean, I guess if you don't know, though, but if you don't know, you don't know.
It was
at least
meant
they brought
to be.
The dog somewhere, okay?
Yeah,
they didn't ignore it. So.
It was totally meant to be. She was just this little teeny thing. And I knew the owners of the pet store, and I just had stopped in to say hi and, you know, shoot the breeze with them and catch up for the week. And they had this adorable puppy of their own that I was checking in with all the time. And I thought it was their dog. And this dog came running from the back room. And they were cursing at it because she would never stop barking. And she was a handful. And I was like... My goodness.
Like, I'm in love with this
love
dog. That's meant to be.
Yeah. Had to convince my roommate who owned the place we lived in that we could have a dog. And she was my soul dog. She was what got me into it. She's the one that picked my second dog.
Yeah.
She didn't like fostering.
Oh, she didn't? But she enjoyed to have another dog
she did,
around,
but I kept
going
with puppies because puppies are cute.
Yeah.
And by the time she was four when I started fostering, and
she kind of has enough of the puppy.
Yeah. She was dying.
It's a lot of work for them, to deal with puppies.
Right? So she learned.
Yeah.
We got to test her boundaries a little bit. And then it was my 16th foster. I started going older dogs. So not the 5 to 6 week old young puppies, because she just was getting too snarly. So I got it a 6-month-old emaciated little brindle guy from Stoney Nakoda that he didn't know how to dog. He had never been inside a house.
Dog.
He just laid on the dog bed and we just brought him food because he was just so emaciated and so. Like, out of it. He didn't know any of it. And she actually started bringing toys to him.
Aww.
And she taught him how to play tug and would bring the rope and drag him on his dog bed around the house. And I was like, okay. And then the first application came in for him. Someone said that they were interested. And I was like, nope, done.
Yeah.
Sorry. I called the rescue right away. I'm like, sorry, no.
Yeah.
Deny. He's mine.
Yeah.
So that was the first rescue I was with.
Yeah.
And then we just, you kind of learn what you like, what you don't, you know,
yeah.
Different rescues run different ways.
Yeah.
And so I moved on to a few other rescues and continued to foster with the two dogs plus
yeah.
foster. So I always had about 3 to 4 dogs in the house and dogs sat here and there. Dog world. I've been working with dogs since I was a child. So it's just like, that's my world. It's
yeah.
just me right now. So why not?
Yeah.
And then I left all rescues and kind of just hung out with my dogs and the friends I made. And I had a food supply come in. Someone asked if I was still going out to the reserves and handing out food. And I was. So they said, perfect. We'll keep you supplied.
Wow.
So I continued going out there. And then we had the first ask to bring a dog in. And I had to call my vet really quick. Okay, if I do this,
yeah.
do I have some support?
Yeah.
You know, is it okay if we work it out that I'm paying a week? Like, you know, I have a week to pay so
yeah.
I can fundraise some mm-hmm. funds or get the bottles in. And they jumped on board right away.
Oh, that's good.
It was really weird. Like, things that shouldn't have been so easy just kind of
came easy.
Fell into place.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
the puzzle just kind of all fit and meshed.
Right.
Which was really cool, but kind of scary at the same time. And then it was like, bang. So that was 2014 in the fall. So we'll be 10 this
10
October.
Years. Wow.
Which is really cool. And we just started tiny. There was me and a couple friends, the odd roommate I had. And we just kind of built and started. I was fortunate enough that I just have family all here. I'm from the Calgary area.
Mm.
So
okay.
Up here. So they just weren't allowed to take in bottles anymore. So I said, I get all your bottle returns.
Yeah.
I get all of that. And I didn't have to put up my own finances.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't want to have to, so that I was crippling myself
yeah.
and my finances to try
yeah.
to get a rescue going.
Yeah.
And so then someone walked into a pet store and they started talking and they said, oh, they're looking for a rescue to come in. And so we just started
no.
doing events with a pet value. The location's not open anymore, but it was in River Bend. There's a new one now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we just started getting out there slow by slow. And then Facebook. Let's find Facebook and let's
yeah.
create a page. And we just slowly
yeah.
built. And at that point, I was probably going out to Stony Nakoda 2 to 3 times a month. And we would go and just... I'd already met some families from working with the other rescues, so we'd go door to door to the families, you know, and drop off some food and shoot the breeze and get to know. So now, 10 years later, the babies are big.
Yeah.
And some of them have kids of their own, which is really cool to have.
Do
yeah.
you still get connected with the first dogs that you ever
yes.
like gave out to people?
Yeah. So we have a pretty good community out there too.
Yeah.
And a lot of, because we were so small, so we do home checks, like we're doing everything. And I have
wow.
adopters. We've always said, you adopt from us, we're with you. So
yeah.
we're supporting you any way we can throughout their lives. So it's been cool to get those conversations of checking in. And we're filling up our TikTok right now on a bunch of
you
little updates on our adopters right now. I have our team doing that and working with our adopters to do some updates. And
that's
it's
great.
Really cool to see them grow.
Yeah.
And I can go to any dog park and yell, pop, pop, pop. And you can find.
Oh,
you can
yeah.
find a dog.
You can find one of our dogs
yeah.
there for
yeah.
sure. It's really cool. They'll bring them to a lot of our adoption events. And the store goes a little crazy because the dogs just go and go crazy.
Yeah.
yeah.
But I work with every dog that comes in. So whether they're born, if we have a mom that comes in pregnant, they're born in my home, so I'm there for that birth, so I'm
oh.
doing all that stuff. So it's really
wow.
cool to see the changes
yeah.
and the bond
yeah.
come in and have that with them. So yeah.
Oh my gosh,
that's
a crazy story.
Yeah, and that's really good that you're involved. I mean, that's what a lot of like responsible breeders do as well. But you don't normally
yeah.
hear that with like rescues as well. It's kind of like, okay. There you go.
I mean,
we don't
know much
Although,
about
yeah,
rescues
yeah.
or shelters,
yeah.
but we recently just learned that there's something called a responsible shelter and, you know, a little
rescue,
bit
yeah.
like responsible breeders as
yeah.
well. And we didn't know that. So I guess that's what it means, that you are yourself kind of involved in that dog's life throughout their life. And
yeah.
this dog doesn't just end up on the street again, right?
And that's what you don't want, right? You want to
yeah.
make sure, especially, you know, for us, we've had that connection with them, many of them, either born in care or coming in, or you're dealing with them from an abuse situation or something.
Mm.
We want to, we ideally want our animals to stay in that family that we've
helped
pick for them for the rest of the world. So if it means I've gone and had an adopter reach out and they just need a little more training, so it's myself or maybe one of the trainers we work with, we're going out to the home and we're checking in and tips and tricks, we're going to do it. You know, if it's a little tight, I mean, we all felt the changes in the economy lately. We're going to step up and get you that big of food. We're going to get to that vet appointment and help.
Yeah.
Because ideally we want to keep, we don't want them to come back.
Well, of course, it's hard on them too to like be switching, even just switching households. That's hard on a dog. So,
yeah. So like they get like our dog adopters get like a 20, I think it's 28 page little adoption manual goes with them with tips and tricks.
Yeah, you got homework.
And,
this ain't just, you know, surprise, Merry Christmas to your kids. This is
work. Only if kids came with manuals, right?
I guess so.
I guess so.
I still wouldn't understand them, but yeah, that's true.
Right. That's for someone else.
It wouldn't be 28 pages, 28,000 maybe, but yeah.
Exactly.
So would you be able to kind of explain to us the difference between fostering and adopting?
Perfect. So I see fostering as a trial adoption.
Okay.
To an extent, or trial, that temporary ownership of a pet.
Yeah.
So every rescue is a little different, but when it comes to us, we're very hands-on being a small rescue. So I always say if you're wish-washy on whether an animal fits into your world, whether your kids are going to actually help like they say they're going to, even if your house is set up or your life, you're going from a very busy schedule and now you want to add another responsibility to it, fostering is your trial period.
Yeah.
So you might not find that fit right away, but it's like renting a car.
Yeah.
And you can pick all your different cars before, or test driving a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can someone just go on your website, for instance, and be like, oh, this is the dog I'm kind of interested in?
For the most part, yes.
Give it a go, see how it goes
if
in my family.
If they're in a foster already, it depends on that dog. Is that dog going to be able to transition into a new home to do that foster? Or do we have another one, ideally ones that could need foster or need to be moved from a foster home?
Yeah.
We would ideally like them to go, but we train our fosters so they all get to learn body language and calming signals, do a little training that way. We check their homes and then they get to try. But we have a very strict policy of 24 hours. So you always have a dog, you decide to foster. We bring in this rambunctious, giant dog in your house, and you guys are like, whoa, wait a second, or the dogs are just, we don't want anyone to be stressed. We don't want the humans to be stressed, our dog to be stressed, your dog to be stressed. So we have a 24-hour rule that if it's not working, you just reach out to our team. We will have that animal moved, if that's the best case scenario, out within 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
So
it's like a dog in daycare kind of thing. Like a trial run.
It's what's best. So then we, you know, maybe take a couple days off.
Yeah.
Let everyone cool down and relax, reset the house, and try someone new.
Yeah.
And we have some fosters that just do weekends. So they help us out, and they'll take a dog for the weekend. It gets us new photos. It gets us a little bit of a different environment for that dog to...
Yeah.
Like an enrichment, right?
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
Weekend
maybe
away.
You're super hikers and you just want to take them out hiking or camping. Or we used to have a volunteer that would take one particular dog. He ended up adopting, which was great because after 3 years, it was like, can you just...
Yeah.
You only want to hang out with her. Come on now.
I know. That's so true.
And he would drive her to Edmonton.
Wow.
And they would... He had this one pet-friendly dog hotel that he liked staying at and they would just go for the weekend.
That's awesome.
And spend the weekend. So it helps us learn more about that dog. So maybe you have a cat, maybe you have kids, maybe you know, they've never been without another dog and you don't have pets.
Oh, yeah.
Helps us learn. But then
how
you
do
also
they deal
get to
with
see,
that situation?
Right? Like maybe you have a couple kids and your kids have been begging that it's time, let's get that dog.
Yeah.
You, with us, you're not paying for anything. We are supplying absolutely, you need treats, you need like the leash, the collar, the crate, poop bags.
Yeah.
Absolutely
you supply
everything. You need to go to the vet. We set it up with our vet. You do the transportation. You don't pay the bill. We pay everything.
Wow.
So it's renting. It's renting a dog.
But like renting for free. Because like you compared a car, you don't get that for free. You still got to pay.
But
they deal with everything
driving.
Else. Yeah, you're
test
right.
Test driving, right?
Yeah.
I guess.
So then if it doesn't work, the kid doesn't step up and help.
Yeah.
You know, or it's just too chaotic.
Oh, like you suddenly develop asthma, right? Or something.
Or
right?
allergies.
Well, and that's what I push. A lot of people that come and talk to us at adoption events that, well, you know, sometimes the hair bugs me or I just don't know. Well, let's sign you up to foster. And
yeah.
I prefer adult dogs. A lot of people like the puppy craziness.
Oh, no.
Right? So then you try it. So
yeah.
you can try a puppy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. Well, then let's, you know, let's switch
try
it out
something
and then
different.
Try someone new. Or you fall in love, you get to keep them.
Yeah.
So our fosters in our program are the screening process. So we take the application. Our team is already going to screen and make sure that they meet, you know, what we require in a home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to go to the foster because they're going to know them better than I know them or our adoption team because they're going to see them on the day-to-day basis. They're going to see how they're on a walk, how they are at night.
Yeah.
And so our foster gets to read the application.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let us know if there's anything they might question or not too sure. If they think it's a fit, then we're going to set up that meeting. So they're going to come to the foster's home. So that then the dog is comfortable in their environment.
Yeah.
They're not going and meeting them in a strange house.
Yeah.
Then they can spend the time and the foster gets to see, okay, I know my foster dog when my friends come over is shy.
Mm-hmm.
And take some time to warm up. But maybe this person comes in and maybe this dog is like all wiggly and excited.
Yeah.
Or it's the opposite. They greet everybody so happy. But those people have come in and they're like a little standoffish.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to know those and be able to, okay, well, we need to, let's hang out for an hour or let's go for a walk.
Yeah.
And they get to see the interactions and they get to say, okay, we're dealing with house training issues. And then I always coach them to say, well, watch husband and wife and see that.
Right?
Yeah. You know, you can find out pretty quick when it's the one thing that's holding them off of getting that pet is, and then you can have that candid conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and this is what we do. We always send home the same training sheet we give our fosters. So at least if you guys have a certain way you like to train in different commands, but your new dog isn't catching on, you know how we did it.
Yeah,
yeah,
that foundation
that
to build off
point.
Of,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But you get to try things out. Maybe, you know, it's the dog. Often if you have a pet, it's the dog that picks.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
They're picking
that's
their friend.
Right.
Yeah.
And it needs to be, you
like
know,
a good relationship, right?
To be fair for everybody. And then we get to see, is that toddler too much?
Yeah.
You know, how do the parents, if there's a kid and another dog, are they just letting the kid be insanely inappropriate with a dog or are they using it as a training experience? You'll see a lot of parents will get on the floor with the younger child and step it through. And but the foster home knows what they're like. Usually it happens if the foster is very connected by the time that first application, like happened with me, the first application comes in, the foster has first right. We've already approved their home. The dog's already comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if they decide they want to keep it, then we say, okay. But we just say, once the app comes in, you have to say, we're not going to make this family go through this whole process.
Yeah.
And then, so we do have some fosters that say, we only want to take ones that are pending adoption.
Wow.
So sometimes where I have multiple fosters that I'd like in individual homes, if I get an application in for one of my fosters, I try to move them to a foster home for a couple of days first. So they get that individual attention.
Yeah.
And then, then that foster home cannot say,
that
well, we
want to
keep
them.
Yeah,
it's like, we agreed to, you can just
we
foster.
Know, you're just temporarily fostering this dog, you're helping us out, so you can't get excited and keep.
Yeah.
And we have some fosters who do it because they're kids, that helps their kids say those goodbyes, so the kid gets to help and be part of that.
Yeah.
Meeting with the family.
I guess so. Yeah, that's good.
Meet the family that's going. A lot of our fosters are still in connection with their adopted dogs.
Oh, that's good.
And I always promote that. Go for it. That's how I get a lot of my updates.
Yeah.
Some still dog sit. We do cats too. So some of them are they've become their dog sitter or their cat sitter, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Just help them, especially if it's in the community. And, you know, if you guys are fostering and you're walking this neighborhood more, most likely your foster dog's going to end up probably in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
If you're getting your foster out in this area. So you get to see them. You'll run into them at the dog parks.
Yeah, because you get to talk with other people, right? And they're going to be like, oh, who's this dog? And I'll be like, oh, that's my foster dog.
Yeah,
do
exactly.
you want
and
him?
So we, right, yeah. Take, take.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so we really work with our families. We have a bunch right now doing training. We have a newer volunteer. He's been with us for probably almost a year now. I wrangled in a couple coworkers and building his confidence. He had never had a dog since he was a kid, and now he's on his own. So we've been working him slowly. He started dog walking and working with some events with us. And now he's in training classes. So he's on his third foster. He got two very well-trained fosters to start.
Yeah.
They were already crate trained, house trained, everything.
Oh, I started them off easy, yeah.
Right? And those were the ones they actually had applications. And I said, it's going to take us a week or two to process these here.
Yeah.
You get a couple days to, and he already knows them because he's come to all the adoption events.
Yeah.
So he knows the dogs. So then we gave him his project. She's been a little bit much for him, but it's been really good. So we touch base every day, see how things are going. We also work in the same place, which helps great.
Yeah.
And now they're in obedience classes together. So they just finished last week. And so it works both ways.
Yeah.
So we get to learn more about this said dog and how she's doing. We knew she had a history. We didn't know it. She came in from Calgary Stray. She was let go a few times.
Yeah.
Was picked up by the city and they transferred to us. But we didn't know. We knew she had a house life. We didn't know what it was like.
Yeah.
So we're learning some things about this big goof with crate training and whatnot. But we also need to build the confidence in our foster and volunteer.
Yeah.
So it's nice when it's not always just coming from myself.
Yes.
Or like our main team.
Yeah.
You know, put them out into some trainers that we love working with in some facilities. So they did a 6-week class and they got to learn. And now he has his own homework from someone else and he's been sharing his stuff with some of our other new volunteers.
Yeah.
And then we'll keep going. And keep as many. It's great when you can do the classes.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't cost our fosters anything. We've had some volunteers who have decided they want to donate it. And obviously we're not going to turn that down.
Yeah.
But it's the expense of the rescue.
Yeah.
And we have some extra funds. It benefits both of course. Right? Benefits our dog, but it also benefits our team.
Yeah exactly.
So if we can enhance their confidence and their toolbox.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we?
That's so true. Right? The part where, like you said, like same with us, we both had dogs when we were little kids. So, and then as adults, we're like, oh, let's get it. And yeah, we just dove in the deep end. But I can see, oh, you can kind of slowly tip your toes in and all of that.
It's like window shopping.
And so I can see how that could help a little bit where, we were the opposite. And we're just like, we'll get through it. But then you're forced to power through it anyway.
The thing is, I wasn't actually aware that you can do such a thing.
Mm. Yes.
Like fostering a dog. I had no idea. I was just like, I'm interested in this specific breed. Let's find someone who's good enough, you know, to buy it from kind of thing. So it wasn't even like a thought in my mind, but it makes sense, especially when you don't have the resources to have that dog full time, which I really wanted a dog for such a long time, but we didn't get it because we weren't in that situation, right? But now thinking about it, we could have fostered, right?
Yeah.
If I knew about
it. Yes, it's so true. And it's the same thing, and that's why we have you, because I heard someone talking about fostering a dog. I thought that was just another word for adopting. That's why we asked her the question,
what's the difference, right?
But it's...
It's different.
It's test driving.
Window shopping. So adoption, when it comes to adoption, that's kind of like you are settled on that dog and you want to have it full time in that case.
Permanent.
It's part of your life.
You become the owner, right? It would just be like you guys going to the breeder.
Yeah.
You sign a contract there.
Yeah.
The dog is yours. So with us, we have an adoption contract. The dog is permanently yours. Mm-hmm. Ideally for life.
Yeah, and they take on all the responsibilities
everything.
Now.
Everything. Yeah. So with our rescue, when you pick them up, you get all your vet records. Anything we've done, any vet records, any of that stuff, you get right then. Plus your big page manual with all your tips and tricks.
Yeah.
And then we're there to support it with our rescue. We're there to support for the rest of their lives for if they do need to come back, which happens.
Circumstances change with people, you know.
And, so you know, some people...
Would you always recommend that people foster first and then adopt rather than jumping straight into adoption?
I think it really depends on have you always had dogs and you already know and you're not on the fence of should I, shouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
If there's any question, you know, can I afford it? I mean, it's different because you're not paying for it, but you're seeing.
Yeah.
Look at how many treats I'm going through.
How fast food
this is going.
Yeah.
You know, you're taking them to you're seeing how much they need to go to the vet, depending on the dog. You know, that's at least once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're also seeing what
It's like a reality check, right?
100%.
Well, it's true. It's like, okay, you're supplying the leash, the collar. It's like, okay, I got to get those. Oh, the crate, I got to get those. Yeah. Blankets, whatever, I got to get those.
It's better than people just buying dogs and turning them into shelters because they didn't realize just how much work.
How expensive they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
And what responsibility it is, right? Like that. So that's awesome. That's or something not like knowing this that exists. Their
life, like work-life balance.
Yeah.
Because I've talked to people and when we got Maple and they were like, oh, I think it would be really cool to own have a dog. And this is before I even knew about fosters. Yeah. So now, next time someone says that, I'm like,
why don't you foster?
Have you heard about this cool thing called fostering? It's right? Test driving a dog.
That's exactly it.
Or
right?
Cat, I guess, yeah. Or whatever. Yeah.
Yes, so. Cats too, bunnies. There's all around in this city.
So would you like to ask the question?
I don't know where we're at with that. Well, we kind of went all over the place there.
What are some of the essential steps people should take when considering fostering a dog?
Great question. So I would say research first on the rescue.
Okay.
I can't even count how many rescues we have just here in Calgary.
There's a lot.
There is.
And I feel like they're all hidden somewhere. I'm like, what are they?
Well, a lot of us are foster based.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So there are probably 4 or 5 that I can think of off the top of my head that have a facility.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So then their animals they'll have fosters too, but they'll also have a facility. So they have usually more funding, but they also have that option of they have them in kennels and dog runs and kind of set up like a shelter, like Calgary Humane kind of deal. So that's your first thing. You want to, get on their websites, get on their social media and see and find just like finding a job or finding a group organization to join, a sports team, show up to their events.
Yeah.
See how their volunteers and their team interact with you and the public, but also their animals.
Mm.
Then once you know, and ask questions.
Yes.
Right? Ask the questions. Then once you say, okay, I think I, really like the feeling of this rescue, get on their app, find out how you'd apply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So everyone has their different, we still do references. We still do a home check. Okay. We want to make sure that you are who you say you are.
Well, of course. Yeah. You can't be like, oh, right. I have this huge house with a giant backyard and you live in a tiny
but
little
I assume apartment. Some shelters and rescues don't really pay attention that much to those things, right? Yeah. Like they just kind of want to get rid of the dogs and it doesn't matter who wants them. But like, what if you give that dog to a psychopath, right?
Check the news. It's happened.
It happens all the time.
In the last year.
Yeah.
We want to be able to have conversations. We want to have a connection with our fosters. We want to know where our animals are going. We want to know what kind of support you need.
Yeah.
Maybe you've had lots of pet experience, but you haven't crate trained. Like we were talking about earlier, that is something we require.
Yeah.
We do not want our dog going and eating your couch while you're at work.
Of course.
Yeah. Do you feel like you kind of have to educate people a lot of the time?
Yeah.
So like, this is how you take care of the dog.
Yeah, we have that conversation. We have a foster coordinator that will go in and we have a manual. So we set it out with us. This is our policies. This is, and then, our expectations.
Yeah.
Okay. And have that meeting and then you can have those conversations and it might not be a fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe we're too hands on for you and you kind of just want to be doing your own thing.
Yeah.
So find who you fit with, work with your team. You want to make sure that they're, or asking, ask to talk to their fosters. Are they taking them to regular vet care?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are the animals you're seeing clean?
Yeah.
Are they just a disaster? I mean, puppies are going to be a disaster wherever they are.
That's true.
But, are they being honest with their bios of their animals?
Yeah.
Have they done temperament testing of some sort?
Mm.
Are you getting them before they've seen a vet, after they see a vet? You need to find your comfortability for that.
Yeah.
We always do a 14-day quarantine when they come from anywhere, even if they're coming back into care.
Wow.
So we can see if maybe they have parvo. Maybe they need to see a vet.
Yeah.
Maybe they have fleas. Lice is a big thing.
Oh, we've learned about that like last week, how big lice is.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's scary.
Yes, no, that's what we learned. We talked to groomers, so that's what she said as the number one, the biggest problem.
Right? Kennel cough.
Yes.
All those things. You guys have a pet. So if it was you guys, you want to make sure that the rescue is doing these steps before they're just tossing.
That's true. Yeah. You don't want to bring this dog that has any of those things into your house that could,
but maybe your family that is okay with the deworming process, you know, you can handle seeing some worms and a little bit of that stuff. You'll get to learn what you can handle and what you can't. So with us, we at least get the deworming, and if we can do vaccines, depending on their age. So we also would require you guys having a pet to show us that your animal is vaccinated.
Up to date.
Like, for us, because a lot of our animals are going in not fixed, we would require kind of things. So our rescue, we require them fixed just for the safety of everybody.
Wow.
And that's just our rescue. Every rescue is different on that standpoint. Because we don't want litters. Yep. We don't need two male dogs going at it. Or, you know, you have those awesome extra situations.
Yeah.
And then you get to kind of, you know, attending those adoption events and seeing who's available, who needs a foster.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to not do the training. Maybe you want one that is already leash trained.
Yeah.
Well, you want a specific size of dog. You don't want a large one.
I mean, that's the thing. Do you find that people come to you and kind of expect this perfect dog that doesn't exist? And it's like, it's a dog. Like, you know, it might bark sometimes when someone's outside.
Thankfully,
like,
this city is such a dog city.
It is, yes.
Right? We've so that's that. The part, like, Calgary's always been like, and I think it's getting more and more doggy, which is great.
Yeah.
So as it changes, you can kind of see the flexibility, but we'll have some that are just strictly, like, I have 3 fosters empty right now, but they only want small breed. But they know, and I would really appreciate that, saying, okay, I am not comfortable with a 90-pound dog.
Yeah.
50-pound dog.
Yeah. I don't think I'm comfortable with a 90-pound dog, to be honest. So, yeah.
Bigger the better.
But yeah,
right? And that's me. Like, I have 2 pit bulls, and one's 86 pounds and one's about 73 pounds. I used to have a Bernese Mountain dog.
But, like, if you have 2 of those, then that's fine. Well, if you have a Chihuahua and then an 80-pound dog, right?
And
like,
what's your comfort going to work?
Yeah, of course.
Right? So we don't push our fosters. We'll go out and be like, okay, like, we really want to help this animal, and this is a story. But if we have no one to take it in,
yeah, like, we're not going to force you to, and that's, like, not safe for the dog as well.
Well,
like,
and is it pleasant for the foster?
No. Either? Well, no, they would be like, no, we're not working with you anymore.
Right, and ideally so. Ideally so. I was in a situation where I had a foster dog that started attacking and showing aggression towards my dog sitting clients and my personal dogs.
Yeah.
Oh my.
So this is where our rescue became, we have a 24-hour policy, because unfortunately I was stuck with this dog for a week because they wouldn't pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't remove it.
That would be like the hottest week of their lives. Yeah. Like,
how to, you know, keep the stress level of my clients.
Yeah.
And my personal dogs, but also this dog that is being aggressive and causing stress. We don't want that in our families either.
Yeah.
So we try to
you have to understand
that.
A dog as well, right? Like, if they came from an abusive background, they were found at the side of the road, you never know how they're going to react, right?
Yeah, and that's where we're big on communication.
Yeah.
So our fosters are going to fill out a little same questionnaire every 2 weeks. They're going to get some photos, but it asks, you know, are they eating? Have they been destructive?
Yeah.
It starts a conversation.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask if they if you require things or they have like tasks to do.
Yeah, with our rescue we do. So it's every 2 weeks, the 1st and the 15th. And they just jump on and they fill out the odd time I add an extra question, but it starts a conversation.
Yeah.
I might see the 2 of you at every adoption event.
Yeah.
But we might have, you know, how are things going? Great. But you get home and you're like, oh, I should have mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, there's this one
digging,
thing.
Yeah. Digging. I have a dirt backyard. Yeah. So if dogs have stayed at my house, my dogs have taught them to dig.
I mean, dig is good for them, right?
It's not good for your landscape.
No, no. And your house when they come in afterwards.
And that's fair, right? Yeah. So you're getting to that question of, what have you been your issues in the last 2 weeks? We're only dealing in a 2 weeks plan. So we can say, okay, digging. Okay, so then maybe I'm sending you a couple. Like, I'm the dog foster coordinator, and then I have a cat foster coordinator. So she handles all the cat stuff. And so, okay, digging. So let's have a conversation. Outside of that, let's talk. What have you tried?
Yeah, if anything,
if anything, what can we try?
Yeah.
Do we need to loan you some X pens to corner off a part of the yard? Yeah. Do we need to, you know, tips and tricks? Plus, we have a foster and volunteer little Facebook page that are full of all our fosters and volunteers.
Okay. Yeah.
So I might try something that might not work, but someone else
might have something.
So yeah. We always say, like, post in there.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We are big. If you don't communicate, you're not a fit for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're very quick on, you know, sharing that with
Well, yeah. And that's why you said you're not for everyone. People that just want the dog and that's it. So yeah.
You know, or it's, they're not eating.
Yeah.
You know, oh, we've missed a couple of meals. Well, if that's a dog, maybe they're picky. Maybe you've been doing lots of training.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, they're enjoying the dandelions
out back. How's the day been? Yeah. Are they eating
you know,
all the flowers?
A cat, 24 hours, that's almost hospitalization. But they don't eat. So we're making sure that we're checking those and creating the conversation, opening the door.
Yeah.
Because people might not think it's that big of a deal, but maybe it is.
Yes.
We're itching. We're licking our paws. Yeah. Well, then there's an allergy or an intolerance there.
Mm.
What's changed? Is it, you know,
maybe
all of a sudden there's lots
them
of ice
something
melt?
To eat. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or snow mold, or we've changed their kibble because we rely on donated food.
Yeah.
So this bag's chicken and the next bag's beef.
Yeah, exactly.
Or fish.
Yeah.
We had one foster who started asking for no fish food because her mama dog just reeked like she loved the fish food, but she needed to bulk up after having babies and coming in underweight. So we put her on a high protein fish diet and she did really good with it, but she started smelling like fish.
Yeah.
So they're like, can we, so then, okay, let's switch
Are
it.
Are you sure she wasn't in heat because that smells like a fish too?
Right? Definitely. I know, it's so gross. Definitely. But yeah, so, you know, it's the communications, but you want, I think, as a foster, you want someone that's going to be open to communication, open to helping you, and wanting you to be successful.
Yeah.
Because the better our foster homes are, the more help we can give them, the more support and the more tools in their toolbox, the better the dog's going to be.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're doing. You're making the dog the best that they can be to find their new home.
Yeah.
Right? So
that's
you're teaching them their basics. You're teaching them, you know, that kennel training, the separation.
Yeah.
Whether they're on the couch or off the couch.
Yeah.
Kind of tools. And so we actually started, we have a couple dogs in foster, so we give them a challenge now every week.
So actually, so my next question is how can someone prepare their house for the foster dog, right?
So childproof it is what I say.
Yeah.
So you need to think if you're going in it and you want to foster a puppy. What's breakable?
Yeah. Yeah, we did an episode about
puppies.
But
a lot
puppies,
of people don't know these things, right?
Or is your garbage can?
Yeah.
Is it a garbage can with a lid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it a garbage can without a lid?
You're going to have
to. Does it fit under the sink?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where are your cleaning products?
Yeah.
Where is your laundry basket? And that's for
us. All these things to think about.
Yeah.
Because we're coming into you.
Because you know what to look for.
And you're in your house every day.
Yeah.
So. You don't notice these things.
Well, we found the thing about cables too, and we just didn't even think.
Yeah, we have so many cables everywhere.
And so, but like, luckily, it wasn't plugged in when Maple was a puppy and shoot. But that was just something that was like, yeah, we just charge our phone in, and we didn't think anything of it. Or like,
and some don't care. Some dogs like it. Some dogs don't.
Yeah, and so, but it's just to be aware. It's like just to let you know.
And that's what we go in, and we do the same thing with our home checks for the adopters too. It's like, okay, well, let's maybe, you know, this plant is fake, but maybe it's real.
Yeah.
Mm.
Maybe it's poisonous.
Or the plants that have like dirt in them. A lot of dogs are like, oh this is dirt. I want to eat it. I want to pee in it. I want to, you know, if it's a male dog.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So we look and see and try to set our foster up of going, okay, let's look at our laundry routine. That means to keep, you know, maybe we're keeping our bedroom doors closed.
Yeah.
One of our fosters moved into a house now that he's got a couple levels.
Oh, okay. And so, like a townhouse.
Yeah. Row housing. So we got him a baby gate.
Yes.
Yeah. And some fosters we find, if they haven't had animals before, they slowly, as they foster more and more, they decide, you know, they really like this type of crate.
Yes.
It's a, you know, more pleasing with their furniture.
Aesthetic.
Yeah. Exactly. They'll slowly add. But, you know, you want to think of, am I going out in minus 30 to walk the dog?
Yeah.
You know, all of those things. Am I ready for middle of the night pee break?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or crying spree?
Yeah. Vomiting potentially.
The one thing that always wakes you up?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's those things, you know, how attached am I to the plant on the floor?
Yeah.
Where else can it be moved to?
Mm. I guess my some yard. People are really attached yeah. to where things are in the house, that's true. Right?
Yeah.
Or maybe reason. They're just like a huge, but they, yeah, they're a yard. They love gardens. Their garden is their precious thing. Well, maybe we should block it off then.
Yeah. Or they have a vegetable garden in their backyard that's yes. not blocked off.
Yeah.
yeah. That's so
all of our team all get a, you know, a list of the 23 most poisonous plants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And whatnot. And everybody's got a tomato plant. I'm just as bad. I usually have 12.
Yeah.
Tomato's great. Plant is bad.
Yeah.
So we'll look at those things and go, okay, like, are you okay with, let's get you some fencing. Let's put a little bit, block it off.
Mm.
Or maybe, you know, we've had some that are, maybe we just don't plant a garden this year.
Yeah.
For the first little bit and let it ride out. Because you might only have your foster for a week or two. Yeah.
That's true. It's a lot of changes sometimes that you have to do around the house just to have that dog for potentially a week or two.
You have a counter surfer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You learn, especially a dog that comes from a stray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roaming free situation.
They don't know boundaries. So yeah.
Loaf of bread.
Yeah.
How many people leave the loaf of bread on the counter? Oh, yeah.
That's true.
We do.
Yeah. Well, Maple's not big enough to reach her counter.
She's too tiny, right?
But yes, but no.
She's doing agility. She'll just jump up there.
That's very true. She probably could, actually.
No, you can drop food on the ground and she will just stare at her. So.
Which is the best thing. Yes. I think that's one of the,
it comes out of my hand, not off the ground. Exactly. That's
a really important thing. So those things, right? Like my parents fostered a cat and they couldn't figure out where the croissants and the containers were going. He opened all the clam shells and he would eat all the pastries in the middle of the night while they were sleeping.
Well, we found toilet paper is a big one. It's like, you can't have it on the rolls for a little while. It's going to have to be somewhere else.
Or you close your bathroom door.
Yeah. Or that. Yeah.
All that. That's true.
But yeah, that was something that we found. But that was puppies. Puppies, they're different as well, though. But
yeah, puppies are like different breed. They're not dogs. They're just demons.
They are. They're ankle biters. Yeah.
So what are some like common misconceptions that like you've kind of encountered that people come and ask the questions or just things that.
About fostering.
I think the hardest thing they have with fostering is thinking they can't give them up.
Okay.
So I'm going to keep every foster I have.
Yeah.
You hear that 100 times at any event you're at. But it's usually not. If you can be in the mind frame of, I'm a temporary home and I'm going to get to pick this family.
Yeah.
Because our fosters get to help. They get to meet them. They're meeting them before I'm meeting them. I see them on paper.
Like the adoption family?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So they get so the better you make your foster.
Yeah.
The better they are.
Yeah.
For that new family.
Yeah.
For everyone that you bring in their house and then get adopted out, that's one more dog saved.
Yeah.
So, but they often don't think their kids can
handle it.
Yeah.
And kids are so resilient.
Mm.
We have so many that have little parties for their animals and get so excited. As long as you're having them part of that process, they know, you know, you have that conversation. We're fostering. This isn't our animal.
Mm.
They're going to go
to
their
home. They just need
to
understand that, right?
Yeah.
And like, have that conversation with their kids being like, this is not forever.
Exactly. One of my board members now, she's a double adopter now, two foster fails. So failing as in they adopted their fosters. But she really struggled and she thought she was going to be the same thing. She's like, are we going to be able to do this?
Yeah.
And she's the dog person and her husband's the cat person.
Yeah.
Get both.
And so they ended up adopting. Their first adoption was a cat. But she didn't think that she was going to be able to do like the passing off. And she actually didn't bond with her first foster, not for lack of trying, but personality.
Yeah.
Like you don't always get along with each dog. So she was quite happy that first one.
And I guess that's good. That helps that now she knows.
And she realized I'm not going to love everyone, but she made it the best. She had it for 3 weeks and it went on. And then she's like, okay, so let's try another one. And we had a dog that came into care. And I just said to her in the end, I said, do you want a foster that's going to leave your house or do you want a foster that's going to stay?
Yeah.
Where are you guys at?
Yeah. Like, are you fostering because you want to adopt or are you fostering?
Yeah. When are you ready? Because I have your dog here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I can send this dog.
Yeah.
And because we work with them, plus as I get to know them, I get to know the animals and I get to know the fosters, we can have those conversations.
Yeah.
Do you want your forever dog right now?
Because I have it.
Or do you want to keep yeah. fostering.
Yeah.
Keep and some people stop fostering once they adopt, which is totally fine. Because that's why often like people are fostering to find their dog or their cat. Some thankfully continue fostering.
Yeah.
Which is great. So at that point, that family said, okay, I'm sure you don't have our dog, but
Let's have it.
Let's have it. And 2 weeks later, I got the adoption application.
Yeah.
Being like,
they still have him. I know. Right? I'm like, we've hung out enough. I know this is the fit for your guys' family. Mm. But their son now volunteers. He's 13.
Oh, so
he comes out and he gets to be part of it. And they ask him every time they decide to take on a new foster, are you ready?
Yeah.
Do you need a break?
Yeah.
Are you good? So it's that having that family conversation, and you need to be all involved or, right away, my kid is not going to have part of it.
Yeah.
And this is something for the parents.
So then
this is something for
me. You don't leave the dog alone with the kid. And,
right. But that is probably the hardest thing people have to wrap their head around, that they are not going to fall in love with every single animal.
Yeah.
That it's not going to, you'll know when you know.
Yeah.
But letting it go and going to an amazing home means we get to help another one that doesn't have a home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, one that maybe needs the vet care that it can't get. Mm. Needs, to come off the streets.
So you said that families find it sometimes hard to say goodbye to their foster dogs. What kind of advice would you have for them in those situations?
So if they have the kids, I say have them be part of the process. Right? Definitely have them be in the meetings. As they're meeting with the families, have them in them so they can ask questions too.
Yeah.
They can see that family. They can see how that dog interacts with that family so that they can see that they're building that connection. They can see that, they'll be happy. Look at their kids playing. And so the things that they want for their dog, their foster dog, they can see that it's going to get. And for our fosters, we always invite them to stay in contact.
Yeah.
And we always tell the doctors, the foster's the ones that have been doing the training. So if you're hitting roadblocks, reach out, connect.
Okay.
Give them updates. And that's always up to the adopter how much they want to stay in contact with us and the foster families. But I find more and more they do.
Yeah.
And that helps because then you can check in. It doesn't hurt to, you already have their contact information. But hey, we just want to know how things are settling in. Often an adopter appreciates that check-in because it shows that there's that level of care there. Decompress after if you need to. We have some families that are, they drop one dog off to go to its new home and they're picking up their next foster same day.
It's like, wow, that's a bit much.
For me, it's great.
Yeah.
But, you might need that time to reset, especially if there's kids involved. Have that little grieving process. Some of our fosters, throw a little party. Make
like a going away party.
Yeah, have that celebration. Oh. Have that last night. When their last day is. It's not like for us, you're not meeting the family and the family's taking that animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're meeting the family and then we're going to discuss. The fosters are going to let us know if they have any concerns. We're going to talk with the family. We're going to do a home check. Then they leave.
Okay. So there could be another like a week process, or so
before. But the foster knows that end time.
Yeah. Mm.
So there's that time to prepare mentally if you need to.
Yeah.
Start thinking about your next foster.
That's true.
Yeah. You're volunteering and you know who is moving into, needing to new foster or, Bill fosters for us and is going on holidays. Maybe you just want his temporary. Well, he's on holidays. We'll do those temporary ones. So they just go and stay with you for a little bit. But, if you're always in it as this is just a temporary, I'm making the dog the best that they can be on their holiday stay.
Yeah. Airbnb for dogs.
Exactly. then it makes things a whole lot easier on you and you're not getting,
so overly attached.
You want to get attached.
Like you're preparing yourself.
Yeah. You want to be attached because you want to have that connection. You want them to feel that love.
Yeah.
And you're going to, depending on the dog, you're going to meet those milestones. See those little breakthroughs in their personalities. So you want to celebrate everything and then have that, maybe you do pup cups. Maybe it's going for McDonald's ice cream and having that last little celebratory. We have some fosters that put a little gift bag together and they've sent them off with their favorite treats and their favorite toys and a little bit of this and that. Sometimes it's a letter, which is really fun.
Oh, so like a goodbye letter that kids can write to the dog.
Yeah, or to that family. This is what they really like. This is our routine, and this is what my favorite things were.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, you know, it's really catered to your own family. But I always find like having that celebration, like it is, and it is a celebration. They're finding their forever home. And that's been the goal all along.
Yeah, exactly.
And as long as you can get your, you know, mind, okay, well, I've got this one out. Now, who else can I help?
Yeah.
Maybe I want to try a more shutdown dog and get those different
Milestones. So you're getting excited as well. Like,
for the next one, right? Instead of, you know, take your day or your week, but then jump back in. And maybe it's then just jumping in and starting to dog walk.
Yeah.
Or do that. You're not quite ready in your house yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just do like little steps.
You know, and then build it back up again. Or be a serial adopter or foster. Just keep going.
So why do you think people like adopt foster all the time? Like, is there like a rewarding aspect to this?
Yeah.
I think so. For one, it's a free animal.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not financially, you know, in your situation. You still get that love.
Yeah.
You know, some of it is, you know, your mental health.
Yeah.
That serotonin little pickup.
Yeah.
Right. But I can't have it. I travel a lot for work.
Yeah.
I this or that. And you know, you get a dog that I said, like, my very first dog. This is, I know, it's awesome though. A dog podcast with a dog in it.
Yeah.
Being goofy. You got to have it.
She's not normally like this.
It's evening. It's witching hour.
Yeah, it is.
Totally lost
my sorry.
That's okay.
Rewarding.
Yeah. Great. Yes. So if you get a shutdown dog, a dog that's never been in a home before, and the first time, you know, they get excited to go outside, you get to do that first little walk. A lot of those, we found our fosters, one of our main fosters, who she does cats and dogs, and she's got a 13-year-old son. They do a lot of the training, and a lot of our fosters will take ones that she's had first. She'll kind of start them off for us.
Yeah.
But they really like to see the step-by-step as the dog opens up.
Well, it's, you know, like the excitement too, right? Of like going somewhere interesting or going outside for that walk or whatever.
I guess. And getting that dog's first.
Yeah.
We finally made a breakthrough in sleeping through the night. We finally, you know, they've never wanted to sit on the couch with me.
Yeah.
And now they trust me enough.
I guess, that's what we're
on the couch. It gives you like that good, feel good.
It's like a dose of serotonin too, right? And you get to see them open up and get relaxed. And they've done that because of you.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. They might not do that in another home. But when you know, a lot of people like that easy dog, that already trained dog. But I always say, like, once they've gotten into it, try the shy one.
Yeah.
Because those rewards you get.
Yeah.
When you get to see a dog that is maybe, we had one that we had to go from a crate to an X pen because she loved her. She was never been in a house before, but so her crate became her safe place. And we could never get it out. So then we took her crate away and gave her an X pen.
Yeah.
And then slowly, but then when she would come out, like, that was huge.
Yeah.
She wanted to come out and see you, and she wanted to nudge you.
Yeah.
I've had her for almost a year, and she's finally laid on the dog bed.
Wow, that's a major
and
breaker,
and she loves
the
other dogs, and she's got her little group of dogs that she's with, and they're all over the dog beds, and they're all on the couch. She is, I'm hoping by the next couple of weeks for me, she's on the couch.
Yeah.
Because she's about the same size as her, and she's never been on a couch.
Oh, wow.
And she's too scared for me to pick her up and put her, that's out of her comfort zone.
Yeah.
So that will be, and I video those. So I show the fosters.
Yeah.
And I'll show our volunteers. So I always have my camera with me. I'm like, look it.
Yeah.
This dog's on the dog bed. And some new volunteers are like, okay.
And?
So, lady. And then it starts that conversation up. They're like, why is she so excited about this?
Yeah.
It's like, well, go back and look.
But then it's like training too. Cause then people can be like, well, how did you do that? Like, what, you know, what steps did you take to get that?
Cause
and so it's a learning experience for everyone.
Like seeing your child walk for the first time, right?
Yeah.
Like it just gives you that amazing feeling.
It's accomplishment. It's, you know, we have some fosters that are struggling with crate training, and I can tell them it's going to get better. It's going to get better.
Yeah.
It's gonna get better. And they just think, okay, Megan just dog train. Like, she just does it. It just comes second nature. So the other day I was sitting and I'm working with the dog. He loves his crate. He hangs out in his crate. But if I'm in the room and the crate is closed, he is a disaster. But no one sees that other than them coming and going. And they see it as someone's come to the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I literally sat there and I was eating and I was like, perfect training moment. I'll set my camera up and they can listen to him scream.
Yeah.
but they can see, okay, he laid down. I was like,
yeah.
Okay, you can come out.
Yeah.
But you have to let yourself get excited.
Yeah, of course.
You're not looking at the big picture. It's those little milestones.
It's like little wins.
And taking in a medical case.
Yeah.
And seeing them, you know, we had a blind diabetic dog who came in. She was a husky. She should have been 60, 70 pounds, and she was 26 pounds.
Oh, no.
Wow.
So to see
her flourish
and see them learn commands because she was blind.
Yeah.
Wow.
So teaching her left and right and walking up and downstairs and those different commands, we all got to learn. But to see her make those changes and become a dog, those are the rewarding things. Those are the things that I find is why I always, you know, if I wasn't in an ownership role, a founder role of a rescue, that's why I fostered. Those changes in the
You have real life experience, so that counts. So, how does fostering kind of contribute to the overall welfare of just shelter animals in general and the community as well? So
as the animal itself, it's bringing them out of, say, a kennel situation, sheltered situation, a dog run situation, putting them into real life situations.
Yeah.
So we get to learn more about them. They get to learn what love is. They get, you know, a lot of them, if they're astray and then they've been brought inside and they've put in a dog run. Or put in the crates.
Yeah.
They get to learn what life is like, what they can be, and they get to come out of that comfort zone.
Yeah.
And they get to a home.
Yes.
And unconditional love.
Yes.
And then for the other side, it makes them more adoptable.
Yes, okay.
And also a foster is pretty much you are their social media team. You are the one taking them out on the walks. You're the one taking them.
Well, that's what we learned, when we were talking to a photographer. They do that.
Sometimes
too.
They get involved so with way shelters.
More, and they're way more adoptable when they're in a foster home because you have people over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're already in that family kind of environment.
People get to see them.
Yeah.
They might snap that photo.
Yeah.
And now they're going to share, oh, so and so is looking for a dog.
Yeah.
Right? You're taking them out to your favorite parks. You're taking them out to the 152 dog-friendly patios in Calgary.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Right? So the ones in foster homes find homes faster.
Okay, so that's how it helps the... Yeah.
So then the shelters, it gets them out more. Yeah. Plus, you know, your foster dog's done something real cute. It's on your social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You're posting it just naturally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do that, so.
You go for the dog park, you're on a walk, someone's asking you. And we have adoption like leashes and that stuff, so we try to strike up that conversation.
Okay.
But a dog in a foster home has exposure 24/7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Compared to one that's just sitting in a run.
Yeah.
Might get out for a dog walk as the volunteers have time, but they don't have that exposure. You're not learning a personality as well.
Yeah.
Either. Because they have maybe scheduled time with someone.
It's like socializing a puppy. How they you have to do that, and that's what's happening with the fosters.
That's exactly
being socialized.
Any dog or cat animal in a foster home, I would say it takes their chances of finding a home up 75%.
Wow.
At least, and that's me throwing a number out there, but that's from what I see.
It's probably higher, right?
Yeah.
I guess that's true. It's like I think I would rather get a rescue from a foster than just a.
They've done all the work.
They've started it for you. Like, why would you not?
I just wish they'd be like honest, right? When you go and see that dog, that they won't like necessarily sell that dog to me. They will kind of be honest,
and
right?
And we tell our fosters it's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah. Like, because I want to know everything.
You can also say, we're struggling. We're up at 2 o'clock every night. Yeah. But this is what we're trying.
Yeah.
And this is what we've seen is working. And this is what's not working.
Yeah.
And then you also see the conversation happening. Side glances between husbands and wives and partners. what they'll tolerate and what they want, you know, where their limit is.
Yeah,
but having that conversation. And they've already maybe tried 15 things that hasn't worked.
Yeah.
But you don't have to now.
Yeah.
That's so
exactly.
True.
It's already
done
been
all the
done
test
and
driving,
tested. Yeah.
Right? They've done all the test driving for you. You know, your house is going to be a little different. You're going to assume that you might have some accidents in the house because they need to figure out what door they need to whine at.
Yeah.
Or what your routine is.
Yeah.
But... that foster has already learned a lot of the quirks. Learned, okay, we have a cord eater. We have a backyard digger.
Yeah.
You know.
We have a whiner.
We have a whiner.
Yeah.
You know, we have a dog that needs that stuffed Kong in the kennel before we go to work to help them calm down.
Yeah.
you know, or they're going to be the couch potato, or
we need
2 walks a day instead of one. Well,
then they need to know that, because if someone doesn't want a couch potato dog, then they're like, oh, okay, I'm surprised. I want the 2 walks a day. I want the one to take on a hike. So,
and that's too, as much as like the foster family and the rescue themselves are interviewing those families, the family should be interviewing the rescue.
If they can't
ask those questions.
Can the foster family basically deny the application 100%. Because they're like, oh, I don't feel comfortable of that
and
dog
going
there?
And we have a conversation. So sometimes it finds out that the foster is just too attached.
Well, yeah, that's so what not, we're talking about, being honest. They decline, and they want to lie and say, oh, this dog is terrible. but don't take it, yeah.
Right? But you'll have that. So, you know, we say, okay, have your meeting. And then the foster needs to report back to us where they stand. And the adopter is going to let, our adoption team is going to reach out to the adopter in 24 hours and say, okay, do you have any more questions?
Yeah, or how did that go?
Do you want to move forward? Yeah. It also gives us a little eyesight of maybe they walked in and it was a disaster zone and that foster made them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets us a temperature check too. So it's
like the middleman, kind of middle person, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I've had it where our foster's like, well, I don't really know if they are a fit. So let's have a conversation. And a few times we've just repeated the meeting. Okay. Maybe their kid was having a meltdown that day. Yeah. Maybe it was just a bad day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you talk, okay, you know, well, maybe the dog is really social when your friends come over. And they were more standoffish.
Yeah.
So the family kind of bailed early.
Yeah.
Just as that dog was warming up.
Mm. The dog needs time, right, to warm up to people.
How did you feel? We always tell our fosters it's a gut thing. If I, you know, I live alone.
That's true.
If I have you guys come in and all of a sudden I got this feeling that I'm not really comfortable, I don't want to be in my home. Why would I want an animal? So, like, making an excuse. Your phone rings.
Yeah.
Right? Like, sorry, we got to end this early. Get out.
Yeah.
But we always have that conversation.
That's the awkward part. Like, how do you get rid of the person? Like, just go home now.
we set time frames, right?
Yeah. Well,
okay, that's good. This meeting should be 30 minutes.
Mm.
Some fosters say it needs to be an hour and they're up front because that dog needs time to warm up.
Yes.
Well, if it's going well, they you know, keep going like they.
I guess it's some that need, you know, we know that they're really bad dog, like walking.
Mm.
We might want them. Let's have a meeting and then come prepared because we're going to take the dog out for a walk.
Okay, yeah.
Because we need you to be prepared for this because we like to disclose everything.
Yeah.
You know? Well, it's like dog sitting when we do meet and greets and, we, you know, sometimes we're there for an hour chatting with them. And because it's the same thing. It's like this dog's coming to my house. Like, are they going to get along or is this dog just behaving now because it's new? And then they're going to be a terror.
But sometimes, a dog is here for 5 minutes and I just have that feeling.
Yeah, right away.
Like, no, this is not going
to
work.
It needs to be a fit. You need to be comfortable. Yeah. But sometimes it is just emotions.
Yes, true.
That's where I'll step in. My adoption team will be like, hey, can you have a conversation? This is the feedback they give. And, you know, maybe they've already talked to the adoptive family and it really went great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'll give them a call and be like, hey, like, let's talk through it. Maybe it was your first meeting.
Yeah.
And you've never done an adoption meeting before.
That's so true. Yeah. Because some people might be nervous. You're right.
Or it's just, you know, I got the feeling, you know, they walked in and they were, you know, really short and their kid, maybe they were really, you know, short with the kid and everything was going wrong and you're seeing dynamics happening.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Or they're just letting the kid jump all over your dog and not controlling it. Mm-hmm. And those things. And if that's going to set that dog up to fail.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
The safety of the dog. Yeah.
Might not come across in an email to the adoption team.
Yeah.
Who doesn't also know the dog.
Well, yeah. And that's what I said. And things you should teach your kid what not to do.
Right? See the previous episode?
Right? Exactly. And so I've had it where I had 2 dogs, 2 sisters, and 2 separate foster homes. And it was, that's literally it.
Yeah.
And both fosters were like, on paper, the family works great. And we had good, but the dog, like, it was,
the
just
dog
didn't feel
was
right.
Yeah.
So I talked with both fosters and I said, okay, let me talk to the adopters and we're going to reset up new meetings and we're going to swap.
Okay.
I want you guys to meet. And it was literally the same family dynamic.
Yeah.
Husband, wife, 2 kids. Yeah. About the same age, same households, same personalities.
Yeah.
And we just swapped the families.
Yeah.
And it was perfect.
Oh, wow.
And they got to redo the meeting. You know, we gave them a couple of days and they, you know, the feedback back was like, oh, okay. Like it just clicked differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Energy clicked. And the 2 dogs
being littermates, they were quite different.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course.
And one reacted just a bit better to the little crazier kids than the shyer kid.
Yeah.
So it's a conversation and, you know, interviewing both.
Yeah.
You'll have some that are just, you know, I had one and the foster came back and said, the man just didn't really, he just kind of stood there. And he really didn't interact.
That's like what a lot of men do with dogs, though. They're it's always my dad didn't want a dog, and then now they're best friends. I always see those, like, videos.
Right? And so that was okay. Let's have a conversation. So I sent the adoption team back and just said, like, hey, you know, how did it go? We heard, you know, your husband's a little more standoffish. We found out he was just more of an introvert.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't, he's not comfortable really going into other people's homes.
Yeah which
so
is
So they
fair.
Just said, okay, can we do another, now that you've met, let's do another meeting.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we've had some first-time dog owners and they want the really rambunctious puppy.
People want that?
Right.
Didn't realize how rambunctious they were until you deal with it.
And so we've done it where we've said, okay, so we've had a separate meeting and maybe it's with one of our more experienced fosters and it's a video chat.
Okay.
And just like, hey, this is what's going to be going on. Like, are you prepared for this, and this?
Yeah.
And then we might make that decision of, depending on that dog, that we're going to require them to have dog training.
Yeah. Well, it's setting expectations, as you said earlier.
We want you to be successful. So if you want to adopt this particular puppy from us, when we come to your home check, you will have your registration paid for.
Yeah.
Here's 12 different rescues, or not rescues, 12 different training facilities in the city that support our style of training.
Yeah.
That we would like to see our animal be in. And I touched you. And, you know, then, you know, if you're committed to this challenge of this dog.
Yeah.
And some families will waver and we will stand behind our animal. So if that's what that animal needs, you decide. Do you want this dog or do you not want this dog?
Yeah.
And I've talked to many adopters going, oh, I'm so glad I took those classes.
I mean, classes are good for you and a dog, and it's like, why would you not do that?
If you can get that, you know.
And they're free as well. So
And most adoption fees, when you include what's already been included in them, you're getting a dog for fairly cheap.
Yeah.
So what's an extra couple hundred dollars for classes to hang out with your dog? I mean, you guys do lots of classes and do sports and stuff.
It's just such a good bonding experience.
Bonding,
everyone
right?
loves it.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes. To keep up,
yeah,
I guess.
It's more training challenging,
as the humans, not the dogs. It's hard to keep up, but you learn.
So, okay. I feel like we kind of touched on everything.
That we think.
that we can think of, unless you have anything else that you would like to share.
Just have that consideration.
Yeah.
Of fostering, right? If you are wavering of whether you should adopt or not, purchase or not. You know, try it out. Test run it.
Yes.
See if it fits.
Or if you don't know what type of dog. I think that's a huge thing is when people know they want a dog, but they're not sure. Not specific breeds, but it's like what?
Small, little, giant.
Yeah.
High energy, not high energy. Yeah.
Husky.
So I think that Husky is its own category. Yes, I know. We always see that.
I think I'm all right.
But, you know, it's test driving it. Try it out.
Yeah.
Right? And in the long run, you might be finding that you're doing it because you're trying to find your fit.
Yeah.
But you're helping out a cause.
Of course.
And you're helping out, you know, the animals in the city and in the country at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win.
Yeah.
And if it's not for you, it's not for you. Yeah. You haven't committed to purchase this dog or adopt this dog. And you're like, whoa, way too much doesn't fit my lifestyle. And now either I'm stuck.
Yeah.
Mm.
Or I'm put in a position where I need to decide what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just one extra way to, you know, you move out of your parents' house and you rent for a while.
Yeah.
Most places, right? To see how you can do with the lifestyle before you commit to a house.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The house.
You don't just buy the house right away, right?
You don't know your utilities and everything else. So you can try out fostering, try out your different sizes, your different energy levels, and someone's paying for food and the vet bills and all the
supplies. Well, like you said, so now you can learn how much food this type of dog eats, so then you can go see how much that costs yourself and get a better understanding of what to expect.
Are you good with diarrhea and wake-ups in the middle of the night?
Yeah, you want a puppy. You better be
okay with that.
You know, it never hurts. And I mean, if you do it once and it's not for you.
Yeah.
Oh, well, right?
Yeah. Or don't, it's not right for you now. Yeah. And then now you know, and maybe in a couple of years you can try again. And so.
Yeah, maybe we can foster a husky and see how it goes.
There's like two that live on this street. We can just go
Four of them, ask if you can have them for the day.
I'm sure they would be happy, to be honest.
Couple hours.
I'm sure they would love
all
that.
All I can handle. With a husky. Crazy, crazy. Well, thank you so much for coming here today and joining us. Before we kind of end this, would you be able to share where people can find you online, or where can they get involved with the rescue and all that?
Fostering.
Our website, megansrescueefforts.com. Then we're on every social media.
Yep.
We're on TikTok and Twitter and Instagram. Instagram's most popular, and Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay.
Facebook, we do lives at every event. You get to see my face usually.
Okay.
And we are usually somewhere every weekend.
Oh, wow.
We are...
Wow, you're a busy lady. I'm not going to lie.
7 days a week. So this weekend, 2 adoption events. So we're in Okotoks on Saturday, and we're in Riverbend in Calgary on Sunday. Every weekend, it's all on our website. So I think we have up to July posted so far, but usually on our Facebook page, all of our events. So dog washes for fundraising and adoption events everywhere.
Yeah.
Try to get out. So we always say, we jump on lives and say, come. Come chat with us. Have a conversation.
Yeah.
You just need a puppy fix or a dog fix, come hang out at an adoption event.
Yeah, exactly.
And just get the love. You're having a bad day? Come. You don't have
to talk
to us if you don't want to. Just come and hang out on the floor and snuggle a dog and play with a cat in a cage.
Yeah.
Hitting up us on our website is always up to date on who's available. All of our contact information is there. A few of our donation campaigns and fundraising events are on there. Facebook is... very posty. We have lots of scheduled in our Instagram.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We always can reach out. Our email, our phone number, the messenger, you'll get somebody. And we are all volunteers, but we do usually all have our phones nearby. So we're reaching out. We say text or email is usually the best.
Yeah.
And sharing.
And sharing. Share the love.
Share the love, right? No matter what rescue it is, share it. Hit share.
Yeah.
Hit like and share. It helps us all.
Yes, exactly.
Usually we're somewhere on a Saturday. We're somewhere in the city.
You're always somewhere on a Saturday. So people can find out through Facebook group,
Facebook,
right?
Facebook is the best. Yeah. We do all of our events. We do create an event on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have usually them all listed on the event tab of our website. Yeah. But they're always on Facebook. We're always posting. Yeah. Friday night, we always post where we're going to be the next day, and then there'll be lives.
Okay.
We do lives like crazy wherever we are. You get to see my shining.
That's awesome.
So do you actively look for donations as well? Like if someone wanted to be interested in donating to your rescue, how would they kind of go about that?
So we can either through stopping by and talking to us, or we always have a list on our website. We'll do a post. They say it's like cat litter, something we always need.
Oh, like we're looking for specific items.
We will do a post specifically for that. Right now, on our probably best spot to find it is the website. So with our 10-year this year, and I turned 40 this year.
We did congrats!
Thank you.
We need a party.
Oh, yay! we did a 40 for 40 campaign. So we took the numbers run through 40, and we broke it up of items that we need. So number one has an item, so it's a $400 canine spay.
Mm-hmm.
And we broke it down, so number 40 is 40 boxes of cat litter.
Oh,
and so we have it all broken out. Oh, so wow. 3 is $375 cat vaccination appointments.
Yeah.
And so we can see, so there's everything from different...
So it's like the value and the volume, right?
So yeah, and some of it is office supplies.
Yeah.
So maybe you want to support us, but you can only afford that $8 pack of paper at Walmart.
But at least it's something, right?
Something. So you can hit our Amazon wish list. They'll say how to there or stop by. Or maybe, we've had a couple of people said, well, I went through my pen drawer. You need pens? It works. I love it. It works perfect.
That's so true. You always need pens.
We go through pens. Everyone's got pens.
Yeah, I mean, you have
forms. Pens on the list.
Forms are a thing and people fill out. So.
People take them at adoption events all the time. Yeah. They walk with people. So you have it around your house. You're not using it. Yeah. It's an office supply that we need.
Or
a crate that we, you have and you don't need anymore. So we have all the levels depending on where you're financial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of our tabs is fill out a foster application.
Yeah. There you go.
A volunteer application.
Yeah.
Everything like that. So we are not government funded at all, and we're all volunteers.
Yeah.
So 2 dog washes a month we do to cover our bills.
Mm-hmm.
Bottled drives. So we use Skip the Depot, and they come and pick up the bottles for us and donate. So all the different ways, we have some kids in the summer that do lemonade stands.
Oh, wow.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Right? They help us. So we try to make it so everyone can
get involved and help.
In one way. Yeah. We had a company and three families get together. It's on our Facebook page, and did a huge donation and filled a truck.
Oh, wow.
And so they said, okay, we're going to take number 39, number 10, and whichever. And they worked with a pet store in their location.
Yeah.
And took off. Like, yeah. I think we got 30, they covered 34, which was 34 cans of wet cat food. We got 384 cans of cat food.
Where do you store all of this? Can I just ask?
We pay for a storage unit.
Okay.
Anything for our immediate fosters, I store with myself.
Yeah.
So we just set up some storage in my basement.
Yeah.
But we have a storage unit that we have to pay for. So we're actually switching storage units this week, which is going to be fun for summer that's cheaper. But so again, like, you have to pay. So we're constantly doing random, very random fundraisers.
Yeah.
To bring in the money constantly because, you know, animals are expensive.
It's
expensive.
Yeah.
And we rely on everything that way. So either donations or fundraising to fund in the monetary donations.
Yeah. That's great. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
We've learned a lot. Well, we hope you learned something about the world of fostering and maybe how you can get involved or maybe how you can foster instead of adopting right away. I mean, it's something I wish we knew about before years ago. That would have been a good thing to do for us personally.
I mean, we were going for hikes, we were going for walks,
and
it was always like, you know, it'd be nice to have a dog with us, and we could have had a dog if we knew about fostering, but we didn't, so...
Yeah, so if you do know somebody that is thinking about getting a dog but they're unsure, share this episode with them. They can learn all about the world of fostering and they can reach out to a local rescue to get involved. But thank you for watching. If you did like it, make sure you hit like, subscribe on YouTube.
And share.
Yes, share it. Just share it to the world because we want more people to be educated.
People to foster dogs.
Yes. As you've learned, if you listen to this, it is very important and very powerful. So share the episode. So that's it, everyone. Thanks for watching. We'll see you in the next one.
Thank you. Bye for now.